Check one, check all right, I'm on. Man, I believe in it. Amen? I believe. Outstanding. Very good. It would be almost awesome. It would be most awesome if the choir could find the choral music for that or the accompaniment music for that. And the choir and these ladies in the choir, these young ladies in the choir that love this song. I like the song. Amen. If all the choir could sing that song. Amen. That would be an awesome thing. Awesome thing. Children's church. How about it? We want to do some children's church? Got two. All right. Way to go. Yay. Children's church. Adrian woke up. Oh, we got three. Oh, no. James is not going. Okay. Adrian woke up early this morning and said, I want to go to church. That's a good sign. Amen. Good sign. Well, let's take a copy of God's Word, either on the phone or the hard copy or whatever you read God's Word in or on. I'm in 1 Kings chapter 19. I'll invite you to stand in reading in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. 1 Kings chapter 19. Old Testament, history book, 1 Kings 19. So we continue on with our preaching through the life of Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 19. Everybody found it? Maybe sort of, kind of? 1 Kings 19. I don't hear a lot of pages turning, so that's probably a good sign. 1 Kings chapter 19, beginning in verse 3, the Word of God reads this. And he was afraid, and rose and ran for his life. He came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father's. He lay down and slept under a juniper tree. And behold, there was an angel touching him. And he said to him, arise, eat. Then he looked, and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones. I already start to salivate when I read that. I love me some bread. Amen? A bread cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, arise, eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mountain of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We praise you for your word. We thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to bring praises, to bring glory to your name, to sing these songs, Lord, to give of an offering and a tithe today, God, to come and be in the presence with the rest of these saints, to just rest in the assurance of our salvation, to know there's a better place coming for us. A new body awaits. But Lord, here we are. You have us here for a reason. You have us here for a purpose. And Lord, I pray through the message today, we might get a hint, a glimmer. Oh, we might see a little bit the purpose of why you placed each and every one of us here. Thank you for loving us, God. We pray for those that don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that through the preaching of this word and through the singing of these songs and through the fellowshipping of these saints, that the Holy Spirit would convict in such a way that one here among us that is lost could not refuse the gospel any longer, but would step out and come forward and receive Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Father God, we pray you touch people today, that you speak to people today in your word, and that you minister to people. Father, thank you that we can be a part of what you're doing here. We love you. We praise you. Thank you for your goodness and grace, your forgiveness, and your mercy. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant Word of God. Brother James, will you check? Will you check, is that door locked? I hope that door's locked. If it's not, I think Brother Vince has a, yeah, just push it open and grab that handle on the, it is locked, praise God, all right, amen. Amen. I get a little gun shy every now and then. So I don't have my gun, so I get a little gun shy. I know. Just hope you're a good aim. Amen. All right. Well, what we're talking about today, back to the topic. Let me get back on it. What we're talking about today is how to. It's a how-to message. How to minister to the self-wounded. How to minister to the self-wounded. You look at these verses, chapter 19, verse 1, verse 3, take it through verse 8, take it through verse 11. You look at this passage, you look at this chapter, 1 Kings 19. At first glance, these verses appear very biographical. They almost appear, well, you know, okay, I can see that, I can take that. Oh, well, what's the big idea? It's just real biographical about Elijah's life. Yet when we dig further into the meat of it, when we get further into the juxtaposition of it, when we get down where the rubber meets the road, friend, when we get really into it, we find that there is this passage is rich with practical significance for God's servants. What do you mean by that? Well, I mean, just off the top of my head, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this, some have entertained angels without knowing it, right? I mean, just off the top of my head. But in addition to that, in addition to hospitality, we can learn much from this heavenly visitor, this angelic being who comes down to Elijah. We can learn much from him about how to encourage someone who has grown weary and discouraged in God's service, in their salvation, in their walk for the Lord. In them becoming more like Christ, in them being discipled. So if you're an encourager today, if in fact you are an encourager, and there are many encouragers out here, I can just see you. If you're an encourager today, someone who encourages other people, if that is you, then be affirmed today in your spirit. Praise God for you. If you need to be encouraged, if you need it, the encouragement, then there's something in here for you as well, I believe. As we go through this passage, I want to share several things with you. 3 points, I don't know, 5 points, 6 points, something like that. 3 points and 3 points, all right, something like that. 3 main points, 3 points of application. Make sense? Kind of, sort of, something like that, amen. Number one, what do we see in this passage? Well, we see that the angel did what? The angel touched him, amen, touched Elijah. The angel put a hand on him. The angel touched him, verse 5, right? He lay down and slept under a juniper tree, and behold, there was an angel touching him. That's amazing to me. Now, Jezebel's desire, you remember her desire, Jezebel. Her desire was to lay hands on him. That was the original cause of Elijah's anxiety. She wanted to lay hands on him and to kill him, right? But this touch was profoundly different. The angel's touch was gentle. The angel's touch was reassuring. The angel's touch was a safe touch. And notice, the angel did not need to touch the prophet to awaken him. He could have shouted with the voice of 1,000 trumpets and woke him up. Perhaps the heavenly messenger understood Elijah's deep human need to be touched and cared for at that moment. I would ask you the question, I'm going to ask you this question as we go through this message. So what is the lesson here for us? What in the world is the lesson here for us? Well, the lesson is this, the downtrodden, the discouraged, the down and out, the downtrodden need an encouraging physical touch. We are physical beings. We are in a physical body. And when we're in touch in an encouraging way, it means so much. Does that make sense to you? Right? Now, in this day and age, you might want to ask the person you feel led to touch for their permission. We live in a weird time today. Right? And there are some predators out there. You don't want to be like, I won't even mention his name, but he's a politician. You all know his name. You know who he is. He served in public office for probably half his life. But he's kind of a sidler, I call him. And he never sidled up on men. He was always sidling up on women. And he would always invade their personal space, normally from the side or from behind. Ooh, don't do that. Let them see you coming. Amen? Ask them if they want a hug in this day and age, right? And hug them from the side. Pat them on the back. Don't come up behind them, grabbing them by the neck and whispering in their ear. Don't be doing that, right? I'm just trying to help you, right? Stay out of court, trying to help you get sued, right? Ending up on YouTube. Don't do that, right? But still, you can still touch in this day and age if you do it with the right motives, if you do it the right way. And it means an incredible lot to the discouraged and the downtrodden. Can I get an amen? Amen. It really does. Number two, how to minister to the self-wounded. Number two, the angel provided food and drink. Then he looked and behold, verse 6. Then he looked and behold, there was at his head a bread cake baked on hot stones in a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Friend, I want to tell you, there are few aromas more delightful than that of bread baking. It's just hard to get past that. I don't go to Kroger except, I probably go 3 or 4 times a week. But when I go, it's normally late. I'm not there in the a.m. I'm normally there in the p.m. Sometimes I make a lunch trip if I really got to have something, picking up a prescription. And so I go in there on lunch and try to get what things I need and get back and all of that stuff. But most of the time when I'm there, the bakery is what? The bakery's shut down. Ain't no baking going on in that place. Amen? I mean, they're putting stuff up. But you know what I do every time I go to Kroger? I don't know, it's just who I am. They got the rotisserie chicken thing up here at the Kroger, and then right in front of it they have the French bread container where they put all the French bread. You know what I do every time I go? I go every time, I make a beeline. That's where I come in. I make a beeline to that thing, thinking, well, maybe they got delayed today. And they bake some bread, and they just put some bread out. And I'm always feeling, is the bread warm? Can I smell the bread? Right? There's just something about that bread. Now, hey, if I find a warm loaf at 8 o'clock at night, I'm going to eat it and pay for it. Probably going to go by the butter section and get some spreadable butter and pay for it on the way out the door. I'm not going to steal it, but I am going to eat it right then and there. Amen? That's just what it is when it comes to that kind of a comfort food. Amen? It is heavenly comfort food. The fact that the bread was baking offers us a glimpse into the master's loving concern for his servant Elijah. He loved him. Now, think about this. Did Elijah's meal need to be baked? Did it have to be baked? Could this meal simply have been dried, unleavened bread delivered by ravens? Certainly. Could God not have provided fruit and seeds gathered from nearby plants in the immediate area? Certainly. God most certainly could have provided Elijah's meal in a more simpler, more immediate way. So why does God provide an angelic chef to build a fire and bake bread? He does that because he loves him. He loves him. See, God loves us. Studying this passage this week, I kept thinking, wouldn't that be an interesting Iron Chef show? We've got Angel Gabriel. He's going against Angel Michael in the bake-off of all bake-offs. Right? On Iron Chef, right? Thought, my soul, what a chef to provide a meal. I want you to think to the New Testament for just a moment. Why did Jesus provide fish? Why did he provide fish and then cook fish? My second favorite smell, cooked fish. Oh, bake it, fry it, throw it on the grill. I don't care. It's fish. I'll eat it anyway. Throw it in the dirt. Pick it back up. It's fish. Amen? Throw it on the fire. Why did Jesus provide fish and then cook fish and bread for his disciples over an open fire after they fished all night and caught nothing? That's John chapter 21, verses 5 through 12. I'll give you a little summary statement. Jesus directed them to drop their nets. They'd been fishing all night. He says, drop them on this side. They drop the net. They haul in 153 large fish catch. And when they get to the shore, he's already cooking fish. These feasts here with Elijah, these feasts with Jesus and his disciples, they're not extravagant meals, are they? No, not in any way. But they were lovingly prepared, and they provided comfort and strength. So what's the lesson here for us? The wounded, the discouraged, the downtrodden, sometimes they need a meal. Sometimes they need comfort food. Sometimes they need sustenance. And God may very well lead you, very well may lead us to provide that for them. Don't shy away from that. I mean, think about in the life of the church. You know this goes on. You've been a part of it. You know this ministry. Think about the life of the church. A church member dies, or a close relative of a church member dies, and the phones begin to ring, and the emails go out, and the posts on Facebook, and the text messages, and the congregation is marshaled together. They come to the aid of the family by providing a meal after the funeral. Or some will take meals to the residence before the funeral. Or some will take meals after the funeral. But there's always this influx of food. Comfort food. Mac and cheese. Mashed potatoes. Green bean casserole, bread, right? Comfort food. You understand what I'm saying? Friend, don't forget that food prepared and given with love, when it is prepared and given with love, it communicates love in a very real and genuine way. Well, the third point, the angel told or encouraged or inferred Elijah to rest. We don't have the specific details of that, but we know that he went back to resting. We know that he went back to sleeping. The wounded, the discouraged, they've got to rest. Make sense? My question to you, was the slumber intended? Was the sleep intended as an escape? And I would say no. The first time, yes, it was. Second time, no. Rather, this rest was intended as preparation. Preparation for what? Man, Elijah had a 200-mile walk ahead of him. 200 miles. He's not going on a burro. He's not getting in his pickup. He's not riding the motorcycle. He's not on a horse. He doesn't have a team of dogs pulling him. He's on his feet. He's going to be on his feet for 200 miles. And the angel also understood that physical weariness directly affects our emotional and spiritual health. You've seen that commercial, that Snickers commercial, where they've got this personality and he doesn't look like he belongs. And somebody in the commercial will hand him a Snickers and say, you're not yourself, right? Well, some of us are not ourselves if we don't have our rest. And make sense? Some of us are not ourselves if we don't get a nap, right? Some of us, man, our attitude can get really askew. Our perception on life can get really askew when we are minus sleep, when we are minus rest. Perhaps the angel knew better than to engage in a deep discussion with an exhausted servant. So what does he do? He infers, he tells him, he communicates some way to rest. He knew that if he tried to get into some long kind of discussion, the words would be wasted. Instead, the angel met the prophet's physical needs, the physical needs, so he would be prepared to have his spiritual needs addressed in time. So what's the lesson for us? Sometimes before a person can make another Bible study, Sometimes before a person can make another service, sometimes before a person can get involved with another ministry or go for God in a particular way, sometimes they simply need to rest. They simply need to rest. And sometimes God uses us as the messenger, as the change agent. You can normally look at somebody's eyes, look in their countenance, and tell that they may physically may be here. They're not here. That's a person that needs to what? Rest. That's a downtrodden, discouraged individual. Amen? As we continue on, I want you to notice here, fourthly, what the angel does not do. What the angel does not do. Notice what he does not do. While he speaks words of instruction regarding Elijah's meals, while he speaks words of instruction regarding Elijah's rest, the angel does not discuss Elijah's circumstances. He doesn't get into that. We can surmise that perhaps the angel knew God's plans for Elijah. Well, you say he knew God's plans for Elijah. Based on what, Pastor, do you think he knew God's plans for Elijah? Based on the fact that throughout the Bible, a word from an angel generally brought encouragement to hearers. But in this case, the angel speaks nothing about God's will for Elijah. He doesn't answer questions. He refuses to speculate about the future for Elijah. He offers no condolences. The angel leaves the heart-to-heart discussion for God. That's what the angel does. Now, there are times in people's lives when even a word from an angel, as powerful as that may sound and be, a word from an angel, there are times in people's lives that a word from an angel is inadequate to alleviate the depth of their pain and discouragement. What is needed for them at such times is a word from Almighty God. That's what's needed for them. Long-suffering Job learned this lesson. You know the story of Job. Well-meaning advice from friends or even angels can never replace one word from God. One word from God. Elijah desperately needed a word from God. Nothing else would suffice. So the question there is, what is the lesson for us? I'm not trying to hurt your feelings here. I want to be completely honest with you. The lesson for us is to know that you are not, I am not, the fourth person of the Trinity. We ain't it. You're not God. I'm not God. And if God has not given you, if He's not literally given you a specific word of counsel for someone discouraged, for someone wounded, then don't give them man's wisdom. Don't give them that. Give an encouraging touch. Give them food and drink. Encourage them to rest. I can't tell you how many people have come to my office over the years looking for answers, and they've left maybe encouraged in their spirit, but they didn't get the answer they were looking for. You say, why is that, Pastor? Well, because it's okay to not have an answer. It's okay to sit there across the desk from somebody and just say, huh. It's okay to do that. It's okay to say this, I don't know. It is okay to say, man, you better talk to God on this one. You better go to the Word of God. You mean, Pastor, you don't have an answer? You don't have a word for me? No, because I'm not God. But I can tell you to get in the Word of God and pray, and I can tell you to rest and seek God's face for yourself, and I can pray God reveal a word to you, but I don't have a word for you. Amen? You don't have a word for me. Well, you're the pastor. Sorry. The Holy Spirit's job's been taken. I'm just trying to preach His word. I'm just one beggar showing other beggars where that beautiful bread is. Amen? It's down there at Kroger, and it's right here in front of you. Beautiful bread. Beautiful bread. As we continue on, the angel, fifthly, the angel prepared Elijah for a 40-day sojourn to Sinai. A 40-day hike to Sinai. 200-mile, 40-day. After replenishing himself with food and drink, Elijah would embark on a 40-day fast in preparation for his encounter with God. Now, I have some stuff at the house. It's protein bars. I would say they don't taste the best, but not like the bread. But they are caloric. They have calories in them and sustenance and vitamins and minerals and all that. But they're Gatorade, and that's the first hint that it's not going to taste good because it's a Gatorade chocolate bar. Well, Gatorade doesn't make chocolate, Pastor. No, they make a drink. That is correct. But they're off into energy bars. So it's a Gatorade whey, W-H-E-Y, whey protein bar. And that bar, about like that, kind of thick. I get the ones that are chocolate and peanut butter. Boy, you better have something to drink with them because it's awfully dry. And you better be ready to chew a while because it's awfully tough. But once you choke that thing down, you've just ingested 20 grams of protein. I mean, it feels like a brick down in your stomach, right? The only problem is it's whey protein, W-H-E-Y. It doesn't last very long. Your body digests that, and it's assimilated quick, and within about 2 hours, you're hungry again. I have this other product at the house that I normally drink it in the morning. It's a protein powder. It's a protein shake, but instead of whey protein, W-H-E-Y, it's got a casein protein in it. Well, what's casein? Casein is another kind of protein that is found in milk, found in dairy. And so what they do, they process the casein protein out, and then they make a powder out of it, and then you can make a protein shake with it. And you mix that up, and I mean just a little bitty of maybe 10 ounces of it. You know, a little shaker, little shaker cups, you know, look like you're a mariachi or something. Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, right? Get that thing going. Put some milk in it. Get some more protein in it. And I can drink that. Boom, man. Feels like you got another brick down there. But that thing lasts a longer time, right? But I got nothing in my repertoire. I got nothing at the house. Can't buy anything down at the Kroger or the HEB or the Walmart or the Food Town or whatever it may be. I can't buy anything that lasts 40 days. Nothing. Nothing. That's what this guy gets. He gets heavenly food to last a 40-day trek, a 200-mile walk to Sinai. Before his life-changing summit with the Almighty, Elijah would spend 40 days fasting in solitude. Not 3 days, not 5 days, 40 days. Now, keen sense the obvious here? Keen sense. Much of Elijah's life was spent preparing for his next encounter with God. That's just what his life was. His life was a preparation to encounter God. He would encounter God, then his life would be a preparation to do what? To encounter God. Right? My question for you is this: what is the lesson in this for us? Well, might I make this observation for us? The junk and the stuff and the problems and the trials and the pains and the sicknesses and the deaths that you go through, these trials in life that you experience, may just be God's way of preparing you for the next mountaintop summit of your life. God is about to show up big for you. I mean, you're about to end up on the mountain with Almighty God. Think that through, friend. You saying that with 100% certainty? No, but I'm saying perhaps. Perhaps, right? Well, what's the lesson here for us? A second lesson would be this. You really are here. God has really placed you on this earth to be a part of somebody else's preparation to meet God. Friend, I mean, that is in a nutshell. God has put you here to bring glory and honor to His name. He has put you here to point people to Christ. He's put you here with immediate friends and family to make a positive impact on them to be more spiritual, to be more godly. Amen? This mountaintop event was the second in Elijah's life. The first had been on Mount Carmel. Now, we all know that, where he had experienced the pinnacle of his ministry. He called down fire from heaven. Fire fell. But now Elijah does not need another battlefield like Carmel, but he needs a majestic meeting place like Sinai. That's what he needs now. And that's what God provides for him. Now, the Israelites had been terrified by Mount Sinai when God settled upon it. Moses' encounter with God at Sinai was legendary. Let me read you the passage in Exodus 19, 16 through 20. The Word of God reads this. So it came about on the third day when it was morning that there were thunder and lightning flashes and a thick cloud upon the mountain and a very loud trumpet sound so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now, Mount Sinai, the Word of God reads, was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. Now, that's an amazing sight, isn't it? That's an incredible picture. And Elijah, he knows the history of that. Elijah, he's aware of what happened there. Elijah knew. He knows in his bones. He knows he's got to go. He must go to that mountain. The question is why? Why does he go? Why does he have to go? Friend, he had listened too long to people's voices. You ever do that? Listen too long to people's voices. The prophet desperately needed to hear from God. The prophet desperately needed a Mount Sinai experience. He longed to hear the voice of God who originally called him into service. That's what he longed for. And that's what he's going to get. I close it out with you with this last point. Point six, many people, you may be one of them here today, many people experience burnout in their life. Many people experience burnout in their life. Does everybody understand what that is? Burnout. They began their service for the Lord strongly. They began their pathway with Jesus on fire for the Lord. I mean, strongly for the Lord. They were zealous for the Lord. They were confident in their ability to serve Him. And what they lacked in skill, they made up for with enthusiasm and a work ethic to get things done for the kingdom of God. But over time, wounds and disappointments take their toll. The call of God that once resounded so distinctly in their souls begins to grow distant. And it begins to lose its depth and crispness in their soul. The love for God that once inspired enormous effort and sacrifice begins to wane. People that are downtrodden, people that are struggling, people that have burned out, right? Sinai is calling their name. Sinai calls the struggling servant. But when we leave God on our terms, we have to come back to God on His terms. And a lot of times, folks, people get so far left, people get so far right, people get so far behind that they look down the road at Sinai, they look down the road at coming back, and it's just too far. There's too much sin from here to there. There's too much to go through, too much to confess, too much humility to have, too much brokenness to experience, too much crying to go through, too much pain. One delay after another sets in, and before long, thoughts of returning to Sinai are set aside. Well, I guess this is the new normal. I guess this discouragedness is the new normal. I guess this defeatism is the new normal. I guess this new dryness is the new normal. I'll just go on this way. They know. Now they know that there's a fountain of living water waiting for them. But the thirsty servant of God, he never will find his way to it because he won't give up whatever. And as pastors and leaders, we look at that and what do we say? We say, man, that is another sad casualty of the journey. Another sad casualty of the wilderness. Now, many people experience burnout in their life. Elijah experienced burnout in his life. But heaven found him. Heaven found him. An angel was dispatched. The resources of heaven were gathered together. God mobilized his forces so his servant would not be defeated or immobilized. As we read this account and as we study other similar redemption passages in the Bible, we know in our hearts that God will do everything necessary to reclaim his discouraged servant. And so the question I ask you again, are you that discouraged servant today? The question is not whether or not God can redeem a difficult situation. The question is not whether or not God wants me to come back. The question is not whether or not it deals with God. The question is, will God's servant trust in God's provision to come back? See, if Elijah chooses to remain where he is, then all is lost. But if Elijah arises and goes with God on this 40-day fasting trek, exciting days are still ahead. Though the journey ahead is long, though the journey ahead is difficult, the moment Elijah arises and sets his face towards Sinai, we know that another weary soul is on the brink of redemption. Having trusted God at his lowest point, Elijah commences a journey to his next divine encounter. And friend, I want to tell you, that's what God wants to do for you if you're discouraged. Another divine encounter. One of the most heartbreaking realities of God's kingdom is the countless men and women who have grown weary and demoralized in their divine service. None of these dear people imagined they would arrive at such an abysmal, difficult, depressing, spiritually place when they first set out following Jesus. But over time, they were wounded. Over time, they were deceived. Over time, they were betrayed. Their focus shifted. You know what their focus shifted from? Their focus shifted from their Savior to their troubles. From their Savior to their troubles. The longer they listened to their critics, the more difficult listening to God's voice, the more difficult listening to God's Word, the more difficult listening to God's Holy Spirit became. Even the most devout followers of Christ can lose their way. Can lose their way if they do not guard their heart and their relationship with their Lord. Yet Scripture is clear. The Word of God is a call to us There is no wilderness so vast or desolate or oppressive that the love of Christ cannot find us and lead us back to the mountaintop. But friend, God didn't push you away. You have free will. You turned your back on God yourself. You went your way and left Him, right? Coming back, you got to come by His terms. What does He want you to give up? What does He want you to confess? What does He want? What does He want? Amen? How far do you have to go? What do you have to give up? Does it make sense to you? God said through the angel, eat, rest. You got a long trip before you, son. But He does make the trip. Spoiler alert. He makes the trip. Amen? As we continue on with it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You. And Lord, we pray for those that are struggling. We pray for the discouraged. We pray for the downtrodden. And Lord, our prayer for them is that they would trust Your provision. They would trust Your wisdom. They would trust Your word. Father God, they would trust every part of the process of coming back to You. Lord, so often the downtrodden and the discouraged, they get emotional over it, but there's never any life change about it. And Lord, I pray that You would give them that breakthrough. That Lord, they would sense and feel and realize and come to understand and comprehend the great love that You have for them and the great sacrifice that You've made for them in Jesus Christ. And Lord, they would see the importance. They would see the incredible opportunity of coming back to You. Lord, I pray You'd help the discouraged, downtrodden, the beat down. Lord, I pray that You'd help them find their way back. Father God, for those that are encouragers here, I pray that this was a time of honing skills and re-equipping for another push to encourage those around them that so desperately need it. It's a touch. It's a meal. It's an encouraging word to rest. It's preparation for the next big mountaintop experience with God. May we see people's problems and circumstances as an opportunity to break through, as an opportunity for God to break through and bring glory and honor to Himself. Oh, it's so easy to sometimes to get negative and cynical when we look at people's situations and circumstances. Lord, let us not do that. Let us see the great potential that lies within. Oh, the Holy Spirit is bigger. The Word of God is more powerful. God on the throne is more awesome than all of that. May we trust. May we have the faith to be the encouragers You've called us to be. Lord, as we pray at the get-go at the beginning, we lift up those that need to make decisions for Christ. And if there's anyone, again, Lord, that's here this morning that doesn't know You as their personal Lord and Savior, may this be the hour, the day, the moment that they step out and take those first steps to receiving You as their personal Lord and Savior. Oh, it's so basic. It's so beautiful. It's so lovely what You've done for us. You died on the cross to take care of our sin penalty, our sin debt. You defeated death, hell, and sin. You resurrected the third day. You sit at the right hand of the Father. You sent a helper called the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God that tells us the story, the beautiful gospel message If we're lost, we just need to receive Christ. Not some head knowledge about Him. We need to receive Christ into our lives, into our heart, to be our Savior and to be our Lord. Somebody that's directing our lives, somebody that's saving us, taking us on to heaven, but somebody who right now, right here, directs our lives forevermore. Oh, Lord, may we get that message. May we not die in our sin. May we die forgiven. If we're going to experience physical death, may we die forgiven, experiencing grace and mercy to go be with Jesus. Lord, be with those that so desperately need to make this decision. Others may need to come and pray for those that are discouraged and downtrodden. Others may need to come that are discouraged that need to pray. Lord, we just pray that we'd be submissive and obedient to the moving of your will, to the moving of your Spirit. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. As we stand all over the sanctuary, Brother Jeremiah is going to lead us in a time of invitation. The altars are open. I'm down front. You come.
Have thine own way.
Yes.
Yes, choir at 4:30 and members meeting at what time? 6:00. Amen. We're going to have a time of prayer down here in the altar. But I'm going to ask Brother Kenneth, would you close us out with a word of prayer?
Here's your mic, brother.
Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Lord, thanking you for this opportunity we have to be in your house, worship you. Thank you for everything that's happened here today, Lord. We pray that you have your will and your way in the ones that's here. We pray for any decisions, Lord, that needs to be made. We pray they'll make them before it's too late. Go with us through the rest of this day. Forgive us where we failed you. Bring us back for the business meeting. We'd work on your job, Lord. We're working for you. And we'll give you the praise for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.